This is RevTech Podcast, where we discuss everything from business processes to measurement and technical alignment. The RevTech mission focuses on effectively managing and optimizing the go-to-market strategy through methodologies, tools, and best practices. We discuss the success criteria and technical fit guides for decision-making and ensure solutions align with the business goals.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. We are missing Demetris this week, unfortunately, although he might pop in. But I'm very excited because our guest today is Trevor Lee, the CMO of Myco AI. And it's great to have you on the show. Did I pronounce that correctly? This is always my first question. Okay, cool.
Myco AI, although I'm not CMO, I do not have the marketing chops for it. I am the founder CEO.
CEO. This is the part Demetris does. So this is not usually my, he's the intro guy.
I don't want to pretend I'm a marketing expert.
I try to be a marketing expert, but I'm not whatsoever. So yeah, let's dive right in. Can you give me the high level pitch of what Myco does?
We build natural language analytics for sales and revenue teams to make it easier for them to get their data out of systems like Salesforce, HubSpot, Snowflake, Redshift, anywhere your data lives, we want to make it easy for teams to self-service it.
Okay, I'm excited to see the demo and how that comes to life. So you are the co-founder and CEO. How did you get this started? What were you doing before that made you want to start the company?
Yeah, my co-founder and I met in business school, and we started down this path of data solutions and really helping teams unlock their data. I had spent some time doing business operations strategy for a number of different early stage companies. So I saw firsthand how challenging it was working with some of these systems, doing the reports, getting the data out of them. And the fun story is we actually built our own language model from scratch and released it 2 weeks before ChatGPT came out. So we're very fortunate with that timing. We were able to get some really good behavioral data around how people behaved before and post ChatGPT, and then have been building the Salesforce product since early 2023.
So this is built on your own LLM and not OpenAI.
We are using OpenAI now as well. I think we pretty quickly saw how powerful the system was compared to what the two of us were able to scrap together.
Yeah, it helps when many people are helping it evolve for sure. I was about to be very impressed because I feel like not many people are taking that approach. And so you mostly were in like reporting operational roles prior to going to business school.
Yeah. And then my co-founder has a deep like machine learning, computer vision background where he was a former NVIDIA engineer. He was leading a self-driving team before this. So we were able to leverage his expertise.
Oh, I want to know all about self-driving. That's like, there is nothing I want to happen sooner than tractor trailers being auto driving and not truck drivers. So I'm like following that astutely, but not as much as OpenAI and what's happening there.
Well, it's interesting because there are a lot of comps to the self-driving world of when people ask, you know, products like ours data questions, they similarly want close to 99.99% accuracy, despite the human examples being, you know, fairly regularly making errors similar to self-driving. And so we see a lot of comps of kind of like the product you have to actually deliver needs to hit this like much higher bar for users to get comfortable using it.
Yeah, even if it was at 90%, it'd be far more accurate than whatever they're doing today. And they're like, nah, that's not worth paying for. It's like, no, it probably is even at 90%. So yeah, that's an interesting debate I have with my mother sometimes. She's like, it's going to be scary when they're self-driving. I'm like, it's going to be less scary than it is today. Look at planes. Like that's that sounds like a fun way to start a company. How has the transition been from going from a very operational role into this founder, CEO, you know, sales role? Or is that more your nature anyways?
It's more my nature anyways. I think I very much enjoy building teams, building product. And so getting the opportunity to, you know, work together with this team has been a really fun experience. Before we raised our initial round, we were bootstrapped for a little over 2 years. So it was, you know, my co-founder and I and one other engineer on the team who's fantastic and super helpful. But it was really nice having okay, we finally raised that first round. Time to actually bring in some help, a little bit more of a team, and really speed up the velocity of things we were able to build.
Yeah. So when did you raise your first round?
So that was April last year. And so we were fortunate enough that we had Kosla Ventures lead the round as well. And they've been a fantastic partner.
Yeah. That's where that OpenAI timing probably suited you guys to still be early enough. in that flood of new companies being built around it. And what did you guys invest that in? It sounds like you hired quite a few people. Is that mostly on the engineering side, or what does that look like?
Yeah, mostly on the engineering side. We spent from last year until about, you know, February of this year building the underlying product with some design partners, getting it to the point where when you ask a question, we give you the right answer, which sounds simple to do, but was more challenging than we originally anticipated. And so most of the headcount all went to engineering. And then now, you know, recently in the market and starting to have a lot of success around that.
When did you officially go to market?
Like the last week of February.
And how is it going?
It's been good. We've seen a lot of interest. I think one interesting thing has been we've been slowly getting pulled up market as larger and larger companies have been spending a lot of time essentially trying to build their own solutions that are a little bit similar, or they've thought a lot about solving this specific problem. And so the fact that we've already kind of created what they've tacitly been working on or their leadership's been thinking through, we hear all the time from leaders, like, I 3 weeks ago asked my, you know, head of data why we can't have this ChatGPT on my Salesforce data. And the head of data will be like, well, it's not actually that easy. Like, there are all these components to it. As a leader, you're always kind of skeptical and you're like, is it that hard? And so when we come in with the pitch, it actually is fairly intuitive on the leadership side of why a product like this would be necessary. And so then it becomes just like going through the rest of the sales motions. Like, what are the specific workflows? What's the ROI going to be? All of that fun stuff.
Yeah, you're hitting like the perfect influx of many companies having the build by partner thought of like, okay, we tried to build this. We tried to partner. Why don't we just buy someone who's already doing it? And I feel like those enterprise companies are a little bit further ahead and really thinking about how do we involve AI into what we're doing? I feel like at more mid-market size, they want to use it. They want to have a product with it. And they really kind of rely on individual teams to go and figure out how to use it. So the marketing team's using it for copy, the sales teams are using it, but there's no strategic leader of like, how do we incorporate this in our business? But I think that will trickle down as like the leaders emerge in their various categories and it becomes not a research project to figure it out.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting too, is a lot of companies are somewhat hesitant to engage in general with early stage companies because they're a lot of people's first reaction is, well, I want to see what the big players come out with first since I'm already on their products. And now that those big players have started rolling out their products, I think we're starting to see people say, oh, I didn't realize this would be the big player product. Now I'm ready to check out what the early stage companies have checked out. So I think we're also benefiting from that tailwind as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's being in the partnership space, like, so much of the technology is with a startup, and it's been really fun to work with early stage companies and help them build their product to fit our use case. So there's actually some benefit to doing that in my mind, but I can understand that mentality of like wanting the proven case of what's out there. So, well, let's dive into the demo. I want to see how this all works.
Yeah, let's do it. This is our web app. The product is a chat interface. It also exists in a Chrome extension, and then you can use the product directly in Slack as well. Our goal being, how do we meet the users where they are, enable them to access and analyze their data from anywhere? We can click on one of these buttons, which is recommended prompts. This is going to go to Salesforce. This is going to get the data, and it's going to return it back to us in both a text and table format. And there are a couple benefits to that. One being, you can download it. So depending on the question, how you want to edit it, how you want to modify it, it's really easy to pull it into a CSV after we've gotten the data. And then the other one is because it's in a table, it also makes it really easy for users to kind of pull things out. So as an example, we've got this, I can expand it. Here's where we can download it. We've got follow-up questions automatically asked underneath it to help people walk through that analysis. And then we've added this validate results button. The goal being, if you had asked your RevOps person question, they gave you the answer and you want to follow up and be like, how did you come up with that for some of the more complicated ones?
Yep.
That's the solution to this, of the natural language explanation of exactly what the AI did, making it feel more user-friendly.
That's very cool. Like, which report did you use? That's a common question I have for my RevOps team when I don't agree with the data.
Exactly. When you want to get another cut that fits your point of view. And so the next piece of it is that's really interesting. We've added this key definitions layer. We automatically have built an AI onboarding tool, for lack of a better term. When we connect to a company's data, we create this semantic layer, if they don't have one already built, of all of their key terms, KPIs, definitions that we're able to pull out. And then once this layer is in there, now you can ask questions and the AI is always going to remember and know to use these terms. So an example, right? This is the definition of a quick win. That could just be slang that your team uses. You'd be like, how many wins? Then it's going to know to look up that definition always for you specifically, use it, and then analyze the data with that specific knowledge.
So the company would put in like, this is our definition of quick win. Yep. It closed in a week or whatever it may be. Okay.
Exactly. And so we try and do that at first, but you know, sometimes companies like to do, once we have an initial layer, then they'll start adding and adding and adding, and then each person will start adding. And so this really becomes a living, breathing document, almost like the slang that you use internally.
Yeah, we have a term, big deals, right? And like, what does that mean? So setting that, and then you could pull up all the opportunities that are a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got mega deal in here. So we're
not there yet. We'll get there. We'll get to mega deals eventually. So we got a couple of them.
All right. Well, that's good at least. So then the other piece that we have is the training resources area, which is a prompt library of sample questions you can ask. This gets hyper-personalized. So if you're a company that recently onboarded Myco and you're a SDR on the team, maybe you're going to have a specific type of playbook based on certain types of calls of questions you should ask to get prepared in advance using the data that's in your instance. And so these questions will be hyper-personalized to those use cases for each individual person.
Like a forecast meeting. Okay, what's going on here? What's going on here? Yep. What deals are up, what deals are down, etc. Yep.
And so the other thing we've done is we've built this Chrome extension so that you can be in Salesforce and using Myco over on the side over here. Maybe I'll skip that quickly. And why don't I actually just jump over to our Slack integration as well? So we've built the product directly in Slack with the goal being, how do we enable teams to better collaborate? And how do we increase that visibility of the data needed to run the organization? So you can see, you can ask questions in public channels. It'll respond in the thread so that you can follow up and ask questions, still staying within the thread to kind of run through this analysis in a way that everyone in your organization can now see, verify, and then collaborate on.
This is very smart. This happens all the time. Post a forecast meeting, like what's happening here? What's happening here? And then you go and pull a bunch of reports and share that data back. But if you could do it all, like here's our forecast Slack thread, like let's just get all those questions answered right now.
Yeah, exactly. And so we see a lot of teams starting to do that where RevOps, once they start onboarding more people, they ask like, hey, if you're going to use Myco, ask the question in the public channel. So they have full visibility on both the questions and answers as they're getting comfortable in onboarding. And that makes it really easy for them to jump in or other people to jump in and be like, oh, this is really interesting. Why don't we also dig into this data? And then you can kind of see that playing out.
Does the tool push anything back into Salesforce? Like, can it augment data within Salesforce?
Not yet, but soon. But it's something we've been working on. It's probably our most requested feature at this point. Being able to use natural language and be like, hey, like update my next steps for this deal, just type that in Slack and they'll give you a little confirmation like, oh, are you referring to this deal? You want to update this field with this data? Like check yes and you're good.
Yeah. Okay. That's would be a nice next step. What about like on the operational side? Will you ever get into helping manage some of the operational load within CRMs? I was just thinking like we want to merge duplicate accounts. It's really tricky to do. Like, are there ways that you think you'll build to solve for some of those operational headaches?
I think so. And that use case, the duplicates, is funny because I actually had a conversation about an hour ago with someone about that specific use case. The reason I think so is because we're effectively building this knowledge layer over your CRM and go-to-market data sources. Once we know how you define things, what the source of truth is, and how everything's in there, now we can start building AI agents and workflow solutions so that we can help clean data, we can help do analysis, and we can start doing these things in tandem only because we have that like structural understanding of how your specific CRM is being used.
Yeah. So it will take some time to get to that point. But eventually, I feel like we've talked to a few people on here that are using AI as it relates to CRMs in different ways and coming at the problem. But ultimately, we'll probably all try to do a little bit of what everyone's doing. But I think this is a really interesting use case. And meeting people where they are at is exceptionally important when it comes to the sales world. I'm wondering who you're seeing as the highest users of this. Is it sales managers and leadership, or are you seeing individual sales reps using it as well?
We're seeing both using it. I think meeting people where there are also means we have an in Salesforce app as well. So it's a tab in Salesforce you can use. We're probably seeing the highest ROI use cases from managers and leaders making more informed decisions. But we do see individual contributors using it depending on how enriched or rich their data environment is. So companies that have spent a lot of resources making sure that their CRM has a lot of good information, that before an AE gets on a call, they can know who else they've sold similar products to, what the product usage looks like. When they really dig into those, that's where we see them actually using it very frequently. The higher ROI use cases are more on the like leadership management level, when they see something in a dashboard and they really want to dig in and go through like an end-to-end what's happening and why. And they're now able to do that without waiting on anyone.
What is the biggest benefit for someone using it? Is it the time savings, obviously? But are there also business implications, revenue implications in terms of making decisions that you've seen?
Yeah. So we haven't clearly kind of articulated what the case studies are on it, but we have seen on the like manager side and leadership side, it's not just the time saved from asking the questions, but it's really the fact that you're getting answers to questions you never would have asked. You're unlocking these deeper insights that enable you to actually make more informed strategic decisions faster. And that is where the real business value is coming from.
That is a great point. There are many times in a meeting where I think it'd be great to understand that data. And I'm like, is it worth asking the RevOps team? Like, not in a bad way, just they have so many priorities. Is this one-off question that might inform a tenth of my decision on this thing or a percent of my decision on this thing really worthwhile? And now it's like, I'm going to ask it. And maybe that will change the direction I'm going. So it's hard to really understand what is the impact, but I think there will be one in a good case study for you of like, we changed our strategic decision around this thing and ended up seeing XYZ results because we use MyCo and based on the information that was delivered.
Especially in the current environment, like ops teams are strapped. Lots of them are under-resourced. They are implementing new technology solutions three at a time. They're barely over water, like responding to people's ad hoc questions as is. So for all of those like really non-mission critical things, we see oftentimes they just go into queues or like they won't get answered. And so that has an impact on your organization where people are going to start asking less questions. They're going to know that you're strapped and that if they want to try and explore something, they just can't unless they have a really strong business case for it. So that's where the value of something like this really comes in, of unlocking, especially the like 90% of questions people want to ask are not that like technically sophisticated, where you have to worry about a tool like ours, like not doing the correlations correctly or like doing some sort of sophisticated analysis. A lot of them are relatively like pivot table like cuts over your CRM data that's just like saving a lot of time and giving you what you already want and know you want.
Yeah. Or you're putting in that request because you don't know like what field in Salesforce pulls for. It's like the simplest thing. So now it's going into a queue instead of me pulling this report. So I think I was having this discussion about AI earlier today around, I don't think it's going to take away jobs. It's going to open up time for people to be more strategic and spend time on things that humans can do and technology can't. And this is a perfect use case of like, you're limited by resources and operations, and how can we remove that so that you can make those decisions and do the strategic things that only a human can do, like have a conversation. Although I know AI's getting in there as well.
That's a big delineation that we see of, we're not looking to replace RevOps and SalesOps. The goal is how do we augment them so that they can spend their time doing less operational data manual heavy tasks, and they can really get back to the front lines of being more strategic and enable all of these other people within their org to now get access to this information that they know they can get value out of, but they just haven't been able to access.
Yeah, and it's at the bottom of the queue somewhere. So obviously this, it's going to help sales and revenue operations partner and collaborate in a more effective way. I'm assuming there's some marketing demand gen collaboration there, and I want to hear about that. I'm curious on the sales finance side, because I feel like that is often a sticky point of, depending on the organization setup, like you're using Salesforce and then maybe Anaplan, and how are those tools talking together and what does that look like? But I'll let you talk about like how does it let teams collaborate, and I'd love to hear on the sales finance side as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's great questions on both fronts. We've seen, especially as I talked about moving up market, finance getting more involved and wanting more access to the insights from Salesforce data. So as they're doing planning, right, and they want to understand why the forecasts seem to change and fluctuate, and you know, these certain deals are getting pushed closed dates into the future and your pipeline's never converting. And so we see finance wanting more access to tools that gives them a lot more visibility and insight to something like this. As we think about like where does our product roadmap live and how do we expand over time, we're starting with the CRM, so Salesforce, HubSpot. We started adding the data warehouses next. That's where we start to get in more of these like cross-functional use cases. So in the marketing example, now that we can do right Salesforce, we have HubSpot marketing getting layered in as well. If you've got your outbound campaign data going from instantly into whatever Snowflake or something, we can start layering in all these pieces to give you full visibility of MQL through close and the broader types of analytics that have been a little bit harder to come by. And so a product like ours becomes more horizontal over nature as time goes by. And we just keep layering in these integrations.
Yeah, I was going to ask about partnerships. It's always a topic I'm interested in exploring. A lot of integrations work, it seems. What do those integrations look like from the AI perspective? I actually don't quite understand what it looks like and if you can pull the data from APIs or if it's a different thing.
Yeah, we can pull the data through APIs. Most of the structured data places, so a Snowflake, Redshift, anywhere that's a SQL database structure, once we've connected to the first one, like Snowflake, the rest of them are pretty easy. So from that standpoint, that's not a big lift. You've got data tables. We can connect into data tables. As we start expanding in terms of software APIs, once we did Salesforce, HubSpot was much easier than that first Salesforce. So as we do our next CRM, if it's like Pipedrive, the third one will be much, much easier. So as we start expanding to other tools like Marketo, Gong, everything else in the sales marketing stack, kind of the first will be a little bit tricky. And then like each similar one of that specific type of tool will be much easier.
And there's, yeah, I think the data warehouse is a good play, especially in the enterprise, because most of the data is getting put in that. As you move down markets, like less and less usage of that. So that's where you get a lot of integrations required to be like in this tool, in this tool, in this tool. But I wonder if that will change. I wonder if like the Snowflakes of the world will actually go down market a little bit because it makes more sense to have the data all within there. So it'll be interesting.
I think they're trying. They have the relationship with Salesforce already, which is interesting. Now they're doing like bi-directional syncs where like some people have all their data in Salesforce, some have all their data in Snowflake being piped from Salesforce. We see all different types of flavors.
Yeah, and if that will commoditize it all and make our lives easier, your life easier as you're building this, we shall see. You talked a little bit about your customer base. Is it more on the enterprise side? I'm assuming SaaS-based B2B companies that you're mostly seeing this from?
Yeah, a lot of the early inbound, especially, has been more on the technology companies, ones that have grown their sales orgs pretty significantly. So they know that they've got issues around kind of like operations being somewhat bandwidth constrained. And so those, especially sales-led companies, wind up being the best because with the lower ACVs, they just have more data constantly changing, evolving, iterating. So they have a lot stronger needs for something like this.
And what does it look like on the competitor side? I've talked about how many AI companies are out there, but is there anyone that's going after the same use case you are?
There are a bunch of different buckets we fall into. One, competitively, there are a lot of text-to-SQL startups, like a Seek AI, Number Station, companies that are doing really for data teams, like text-to-SQL models that have built fairly strong companies for. you know, our differentiation being we're really focusing on the sales and revenue use case and getting into systems like Salesforce. We can automate a lot of that onboarding. But then on the other side of it, most of the time when we're like selling to customers, we're competing against the status quo. Why should we change the way we're doing things now? We've got our fragmented Tableau for half the dashboards, Looker for the other half, and then some people are using Salesforce. That's really where most of the competition is coming from, is like, how do you get people to start thinking about, like, it doesn't have to be like that. Like, you can actually get full service analytics, the information for people. Some of it comes down to the organization has to be the right point in time, right? They have to have clean data. They have to have thought about this previously of getting access to some of the self-service data. And so competitively, the other nice thing is Salesforce is doing a lot of marketing around their Einstein Copilot, which is similar features functionality right now. So some of the education pieces is being done by them.
Yeah, and it's when you're building a new category that education is really important from a marketing perspective. And it's nice when a company like Salesforce has the resources, does some of it for you. How are you going to market? Is the Salesforce and HubSpot app marketplace helping to get people on board? You're probably doing some sales as you're moving up to enterprise. What does the breakdown look like between product, marketing, sales, partnerships?
Well, you're looking at the leads for all of them. And right now, I'd say we're doing a mix. We're doing some outbound. We are getting a fair amount of inbound recently. We got listed on the CB Insights AI 100, which was a nice
boost. Oh, congrats.
Thank you. We started getting a lot more enterprise inbound after that of companies that saw us in that market map. The sales, for the most part, is really coming down to how do we find the sweet spot of companies that have thought about a tool like this, have some of the institutional pieces in place, and then how do we get ourselves in front of them in a way that's really compelling? So we've done a couple of things. One, we have a sandbox on our website right now with fake data. So if you sign up for a free account, you log in, you can see the sample data set, which is an opportunity table, and you can just start asking questions. We've found that to be a really easy way for people to just, like, without even having to talk to anyone at their company, test out like how a product like ours would work. So that's been really effective. And then we've been looking at partnerships actually with some of the larger sales training organizations as well. Start developing training modules to teach digital literacy to managers. So we've got a big announcement coming soon-ish. We're not quite ready to drop, but will be a good distribution channel.
Now, this is probably coming out in like a month and a half. Are you able to share anything more about it?
The Partnerships Mentor Group, so their large global sales training agency, we've built now with them a digital sales training that will enable managers to actually learn how to ask better questions and analyze their sales data natively using an AI product like ours.
Oh, very cool. So that's like they take the training, they're like, this is great. And then how do we go get this for our own company? Yeah,
exactly.
It's a really interesting partnership. Obviously, when you're doing so many integrations and you're in app marketplaces, that can be a great lead gen source. More for SMB mid-market companies, but I feel like this, the channels play of agency partnerships and all the education that's going to be happening and focused on AI is a ripe opportunity if you can be the main tech that they're using.
I forgot to answer the first part of your question as well. The Salesforce marketplace has actually been fairly strong and helpful, not for an inbound perspective, but the fact that we're listed on there and have gone through the Salesforce security review already gives people a lot more comfort than I even realized when we were going through the process of it. And so it gives us that certain level of credibility that we would have lacked.
Yeah, they can trust that you're going to keep their data secure. And that's interesting. I actually haven't heard that before. Typically, it's like a great lead gen source, but to have that layer of trust just by being listed as an app is a nice thing to have, especially as you go up market. It sounds like you're doing a lot of integrations, but is there anything that's kind of in the near term that you're working on?
The biggest thing has really been expanding the number of sources we can connect to natively so that when we onboard a customer, we can do multiple data tables from multiple data sources and enable that kind of natural language analytics side. Second piece on the roadmap then becomes the read-write. So how do we let people push data back into systems? So that now we can be more of a true co-pilot. So you're like at a conference, you just want to type into Slack, like update my CRM. I want to add Lizzie, had a great conversation, follow up with her in 2 weeks. That can go right into your CRM without having you having to do anything else. Like that's a pretty magical experience that we're pretty close to. or by the time this airs, we'll be hopefully out then. And then the third piece is we're starting to build our first like autonomous AI agents. So giving the AI a task and then letting the AI carry out multiple actions in order to carry out that task.
What's an example of something that that would allow for?
A good one is data cleaning. So rather than setting a specific set of rules around like if the close date is in the past, but it's still an open deal, like that should get flagged. Instead of you having to manually configure all of those individual use cases, a data cleaning agent can take what you've already created, but also think through almost like a person would, like, hey, this data looks out of place. This looks like it hasn't been updated. You might want to update this field. And it can be far more flexible in its nature once we give it like a broad task rather than like hyper-specific rules.
And give like insights and recommendations almost around what to do instead of like, you asked for this, here's the answer to that.
Exactly. And so then it can also become like, you can create like a win-loss agent. You can create an agent specifically around like cycle times of like going through all your different data sources to understand why your sales cycles are dragging out. Like you can start thinking about how you can give it these like broad category tasks. And then it doesn't have to be real time. It can go spend half an hour a day, go looking everywhere, running multiple series of analyses, and then getting back to you almost like a person would.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Is that something that you'll be able to like demo in your sample data as well for people? Because I feel like that's a real game changer.
That's a great idea. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but I think that would be a pretty powerful use case as well.
I think that's such a cool product-led growth strategy. I mean, it's more of like a demo experience that's interactive. That's great that you can do that with a sample of data. But, you know, I think one of the reasons that people struggle with AI tools and figuring it out is like, what is this actually going to do for me? And a lot of people's experience is with copywriting tools, right? And it's like, well, can this really do more than that? And so to actually be able to test it out and say like, what's the, you know, kind of out of the box question I can ask and see results? And I'm sure you can do that in a demo or in talk through that. But I just think that's a cool way to get people excited about it as you're driving inbound traffic to your website as well.
I can't take full credit. We stole the idea from Amplitude. I think they did that in their original PLG strategy of create this like open sandbox environment for people to play with. So that by the time they got into those deeper sales cycles, once they got into the actual demo, people had a pretty good understanding of what they could and couldn't do. And so they were able to get really, really targeted and specific and speed up those sales cycles.
Yeah, because you're not asking like, well, could it do this or could it do this? It's like, here are the three things we want to do. We've already seen what it can do this and let's go.
It becomes like, okay, I've played with it. Like now, can you do these three very specific things on our data? If you can, we're good. If not, like we'll check back when you can.
Yeah, I feel like outside of, you know, connecting all your data sources and getting that set up right, but the implementation has to be a pretty light lift. Is there like a period of time that you have to analyze a certain amount of data or get a certain amount of questions to reach that point where you feel confident, or is it pretty instantaneously?
It is.
Depends.
We're working on getting it more instantaneous. Right now, the onboarding time we have down to between 1 to 2 weeks and typically only requires a couple emails from the people implementing. So it's pretty light on the actual customer side. Our goal is to get that down to like minutes to hours, right? Where you can just connect, we can build out that map of your Salesforce, all your definitions, everything hyper-specific to your company with our AI onboarding model. And so we've gotten it pretty good. It still requires some human intervention, making sure that everything's right. But that's the goal of getting it in on near instantaneous, where you can start experiencing value right when you sign up.
1 to 2 weeks on a tool like this is pretty good. I feel like anytime you're adding any analytics tool or whatever you want to call it into your system, it's months. It's months to get it properly, you know, get the data structure in the way that it needs to be and make sure all the dashboards are correct and all that. So people should be happy with 1 to 2 weeks, but I like the minutes and hours goal that you have.
That's the goal. Let's get it down as quickly as we can. I know there's one company, Wiz, that had incredible onboarding process and significantly helped where they plugged into your AWS and set up their security network within hours. Like it was a massive game changer because they were able to close deals. And the same day they closed a deal, people would start experiencing value from it. And so we just want to think about how we can get that time to value near instantaneous for customers.
it's like the catch-22 for operations people. And I struggle with this in a partnerships role, doing partner ops on the side. It's, I want to implement this tool because it's going to make things better. But the time it's going to take me to set up this tool is going to be dragged out because I have a million other things going on. And so unless you can dedicate cycles to it, it's really hard. You know, I think that's one of the benefits of AI, generally speaking, is it just comes in and it helps you clean things up and you're off to the races. I want to hear a little bit about like what you think the trends are in AI, broadly speaking, and then even more specific to what you're doing and where you think things are going.
I think a lot of them are converging on similar themes of the AI is getting smarter, it's getting faster, it's getting cheaper, and it's able to do more. And so the question becomes, what does that unlock? We think the direction everything is going to be going is these AI agents. So everyone's going to have multiple individual AIs for different things you need in your life. You might have like a personal assistant one. You might have a scheduling one that's separate. You might have a cooking one that knows all of your food patterns, everything you like, where to shop, what to buy. You're going to have a sales one. You're going to have a data one in general that can help you move and push data. And so I think as these AIs get smarter and then they start to develop a memory, so they start to learn from the individuals and then build from that learning into the underlying model, they're just going to keep getting more powerful and they're going to keep being able to complete more actions end to end, where a lot of them, even like us right now, are still kind of point solutions. Like we can do individual tasks fairly well. We can't do like, you want to understand why your outbound campaign isn't performing that well, all the way through like, okay, now actually like fix the campaign to make it do better.
I have so many thoughts. Well, I already want like something that pulls all those assistants together. Like the fact that I have to like, we'll have to go into different apps is going to be a struggle for me. That might be an age thing. I feel like I'm growing out of the tech savviness. It'll be interesting to see like what companies come in and help aggregate some of these tools and make it seamless for you to enter your question and go into the whatever tool is useful for that. Well, we'll probably get there at some point. I'm curious to hear your perspective on not necessarily chat, but like the emails that are getting created, the AI coming in and trying to act like a human, if you will. And this is something that Demetrius and I complain about quite a bit on this podcast, that like we get so many emails written by bots. There's no like personalization to them. You can see through it. And I'm like, I can't waste my time getting back to this person. So I'm curious to hear your perspective on that side of it. I know that's not what you're doing, but you're in the same world a little bit with that.
Yeah, I think it's tough because the AI, it's for the most part not good enough to do like really personalized good cold emails yet. There are a lot of people trying to do it. A lot of people joke about the like personalization of like, hey, saw you went to this college. Like, do you want my B2B software? Versus, hey, you wrote a really thoughtful blog post. This was an interesting point in the post. We have something, blah, 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 that tangentially ties to that. The challenge is the number of people at scale that actually have enough information about them that you can really actually do that effectively. My thesis is pretty small. Like, it's really like, what if people post it on LinkedIn and can you leverage that for like a good outbound? Otherwise, it becomes more of the like warm signaling of like, hey, saw you're hiring for this role. You might want to consider a product like ours, and not trying to overdo it with like the level of personalization and just trying to like hit people at the right time that you know you think they're buying. I do think like, depending on level of product market fit, your level of outbound is going to work differently. Like if you have a very strong product market fit, you're going to be able to get really good outbound results with a pretty simple email. Like, hey, like we have this great product. Here's the ROI. Here's a case study. Do you want to check it out? You're going to get a lot of yeses. You can write the best cold emails in the world. And if you don't have a strong product that people want, I don't really think it's going to make much of a difference. People aren't going to find it that interesting. So that may be a little bit of a contrarian take, but I do think like a lot of the AI personalization, a lot of the people that are using it like off the shelf were already sending bad email campaigns before. So I don't know how much it's changed.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were talking to a company, Reply, that is doing some of this, right? And they were saying that the intent data is way more important than the email that you write. So like if you nail the intent data to your point, then the message is probably pretty good. Like if it's high intent and you know what tone to hit in that, or even if it's lower intent, and you know what tone to hit in that, then you're in a good spot. In that use case, they're automating something, but it's not the AI that's writing that is actually changing anything. It's the incorporating that intent data into the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. My other thought here is, like, as you were talking about some of the things on the engineering side and how people are utilizing AI in that, does engineering get a lot easier to do? Like, do developers not need to be as skilled as maybe they once were to build a product that they did in the past?
Yes, it's much easier for non-technical people or even less technical developers to build things that would have been harder to build in the past. The challenge for companies like us is that means you just got to keep pushing the envelope and solving harder problems and more, like, technologically challenging problems, like, keep pushing people. So it unlocks a whole new set of opportunities because, oh, we can build a dashboard solution in a couple hours. Like, what's next? Like, how do we help the users next? Like, what does that unlock with the new efficiency gains?
Yeah, the building is easier and cheaper. The strategy is actually maybe easier, right? Because if you can take all this large volume of data and figure out what the strategy should be and the go-to-market and everything that you're doing. But there, to your point, I think there's still, because all these companies are popping up. It's just easier to create a startup now. And I think some people might hem and haw about that, but I'm like, no, the companies that are pushing the boundaries that know how to connect with people are still going to be the winners. Even if you can do the best outbound marketing in the world, like, you still need to create that connection. As you grow, you need to make people feel something when they see your ad. Like, there is, if it's a consumer-led product, but, like, there are a couple pieces that are going to be needed there to grow and be successful. And it sounds like you have a similar feeling about that.
Yep, exactly. I think it's just going to keep enabling people to do things that they weren't able to do before.
Which is good. It's going to make us hopefully not have to work on our Memorial Day weekends because something else is doing it for us while we're away from our computers. I'm all for the 3-day work week. And I'm like, can we ever get there? Can it help us automate things to that point?
It's certainly where we're going.
Yeah, I hope so. Cool. Well, yeah, you've called out a couple companies that you think are doing cool things. Wiz, Amplitude. Any others in the space? I feel like you'll have a plethora of ones that maybe I haven't heard of yet that you think are doing really cool things.
Reggie AI is one specifically doing a lot of the, like, end-to-end outbound emails. I think they're doing a really good job with, and they've been a really interesting company. We've kind of worked with them. And then another one that has been doing a lot, the company Unify go-to-market around, like, the intent signals, seems like they've been really taken off recently.
Do you use Reggie?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll have to give those ones a look. This is, like, fun to hear what your thoughts are, but also really good prospecting for our own podcast. So thanks for sharing those. Cool. All right. What tips are you going to give us today?
So 3 tips sales teams can use to make themselves more efficient using general AI. 1, job recs. So if you want to put out a new job rec, quickly put it into ChatGPT. We'll give you a full end-to-end job description that you can post. 2, data cleaning. It's really easy to upload a CSV, file, look for duplicates, remove duplicates, clean up the data in a very simple way. And 3, you can start building lead enrichment flows. So you can really easily start putting in lookups, using ChatGPT and some other automations like Zapier to build some simple lead enrichment schemes that anyone can do.
Oh, what's an example of one of those lead enrichment schemes? I want to know this.
If you go to Siki Chen, the CEO of Runway.com, he just posted a tutorial on LinkedIn about how they leverage ChatGPT and Zapier to do full, like, end-to-end lead enrichment when people signed up for demos.
Oh, very cool. Okay, I'll have to check it out. I'll link that in this too. So that's there. Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really fun to see the demo of Myco and get a really good understanding of what you're doing and what the future is. So thanks for listening and watching, everybody.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the RepTech Podcast. Please subscribe on the listening platform of your choice. And leave us a review to let us know how we're doing.